and welcome back to another episode of We Knows Parenting. I'm Peter McNerney.
I'm Beth Newell.
Real married couple with children, not experts. That's the deal. That's what this show is all about. Now, this episode, Beth.
This is a very special episode.
Well, you can tell from the enthusiasm in Beth's voice that this is a very special episode and that we're going to break the rules in the format.
The rules,
the strict rules we've set forth. And
the laws, it's lawless over here.
And we'll be honest, we're doing this so we could go on vacation. We don't have to record next week. That is why this is happening. But it's a really good idea. Now that I've undercut the specialness of the episode.
Why don't you tell people what is happening?
Oh my gosh, that's a good idea. So in one of our very first episodes, we very casually mentioned that Maven was born in a car. And to the chagrin of several listeners who wrote in, that's a real tease and a real...
Did we have complaints about that?
We had at least one review and somebody else was like, you can't drop something like that and not explain it. But in our defense, we recorded sort of a pilot for this show a while ago, and we talked about that a lot. And then we recorded the other episodes, and we just never ended up releasing that early episode.
Yeah, we trashed a lot of episodes because we started recording, and then...
So in our mind, we had talked about it already.
Yeah, it also was an incredibly long and meandering episode, and now we're going to try to give it to you a little more quickly.
Yeah, and we got a fun game that I'm explaining to Beth as it goes. So we've told this story a lot, and we've sort of got it down. But there are differences in how we tell it based on our perspective, as you might imagine.
Yeah, based on the fact that one of us experienced this.
Sure, like I said, different perspectives. So what I have proposed...
If it's unclear, this episode's going to be about birth.
Yes, that's true. And all the things connected to it. Okay, Beth, so how this is going to work is we are going to take turns telling this story. And we each get exactly 60 seconds before the other person takes over the story. Okay? Do you want to start the story? Because as you mentioned, this is more your story than mine. Because you actually did it and I was just there.
Okay.
All right. Synchronize your watches in 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so this tale begins long ago, the year 2014. We move up to Westchester from Brooklyn with the expectation that we are about to have a baby. We managed to only move up here 1 week before our son is born. We plan to do a home birth with the aid of some very nice home birth midwives, with also additional backup plan of being able to go to a hospital if necessary with these other midwives that they work in concert with. So what happens is we go see a movie, Guardians of the Galaxy, at the movie theater after we finish painting 3 rooms of our apartment, go to bed that night, and I wake up in the middle of the night and my water has broken. What problem here is that once your water breaks, if you're not having contractions, there's a risk of infection, which leads us to believe that a home birth may not be possible.
So more specifically, as a home birth might be fine, but if anything goes wrong, the backup midwives have a policy where they will not accept a transfer if the water has broken 24 hours before labor started. So we didn't want to... The alternative would mean that if anything went wrong for the home birth, we would end up in the emergency room, which is Beth's greatest nightmare. So we decided to go after a full day of trying to induce labor, which was not successful through acupuncture and drinking castor oil. Not me, Beth. We decided to just go straight to plan B, which is to go to the midwives at the birthing center in the Sleepy Hollow. So we drive there early in the morning. We meet our doula. We get there. And what begins is a very long and typical first birth in that it's more difficult than...
I would not say typical. It's common. It's common for a birth to be that long, but it's not always the case that it is somewhat of a back labor, which means that the position of the baby is not great. We later realized via my doula in my subsequent birth that my hips were not 100% aligned. One of my hips was like locked up, which is a thing that happens to a lot of people, and you wouldn't necessarily notice it's a problem unless you're trying to squeeze a baby out of your hips. And so anyway, it was a very long, very incredibly painful labor where Bryn was, his head was pressing on a nerve in my hip. And the thing about back labor is that it not only takes longer, but it's more painful, and it's hell on earth. So that labor happens. Bryn is born stubborn and big-headed.
He's born at 4:30 in the morning. And it's exhausting because it's, you know, you've had 18 hours of labor, obviously more exhausting for Beth. I don't mean to imply it was exhausting for me. So Bryn is born. We learn a lot of things. It's a big day. Your mind is blown. It's an insane thing to go through. I can't imagine going through it myself, but witnessing this is, of course, life-changing, and it's beautiful, and we cried and all of that. And suddenly we had a little baby boy, and we took him home. So I want to backtrack a little bit to say that moving to the suburbs meant we needed to get a car. And luckily, your family had an old Toyota Sienna that they were going to get rid of. And it was a 12-year-old minivan that they gave to us. And so we suddenly had a car, and that was fantastic.
So cut to 2016. I'm pregnant with our second child. This time around, I'm talking to my doula, trying to avert the horrible labor of the previous child. And she recommends going to a chiropractor, which the chiropractor realizes my hip joint's locked up. She loosens it up. It's much easier to loosen your joints up while you're pregnant because of the relaxin hormone that loosens everything up in your body. So I'm feeling ready. And then what I had been telling Peter for months is that we needed a new car, and I specifically said we needed to get a Honda CR-V. And Peter said, no, we can't afford a car. And I said, well, we have to get one because our minivan door is about to fall off, and I don't want to have the door fall off my car when I'm driving two small children around. And he continued to say, no, we can't afford it. And I continue to say, well, we need a new car. And then he takes our car in for inspection a week before Maven is due.
And I'll tell you what happened. First of all, we definitely could not afford a car. Like in no universe could we afford any car. We had no money. Like, this was a year where I thought we were going to run out of money, and I didn't know what we were going to do, and it was really stressful, and Beth and I would fight about it, and she was just optimistic. She said, I was like, we can't afford a car. She's like, well, let's go look. The universe will provide. I'm like, you're insane. We need money. And so I take this car in for inspection a week before Maven is born, and it fails the inspection. And this woman says, I would not drive this with kids. Like, the wheels are literally going to fall off. So to fix the car would be more money than buying another, like, clunker. So I sell this thing for $400 a week before my daughter is born. And so I was like, okay, we have to figure out how to get to the hospital. So we borrow Beth's sister's Honda Fit, which is, like it's named, very tiny car.
So then, you know, this time around we decided, you know, we're just going to deliver with the midwives at the hospital, birthing center. We're not going to bother with the home birth thing because our kid's going to be in the way. He's going to be whining, and we just didn't feel like dealing with the gamble at this point. So we have this plan in place. We're borrowing my sister's car. And I think Maven was like about a week overdue. I start having contractions.
It's not my turn.
It's, yeah, we got this timer here. Oh, so God. Just wait your turn.
Oh, my God.
I started having contractions around maybe like 5 or 6 p.m. at night. You do the usual thing where you try to go to bed and get some rest because you don't really know how long this labor is going to drag on. You don't want to head to the hospital too soon and wait around. And Peter goes peacefully to sleep.
Well, you just gave me 5 seconds there.
Because you keep jumping in 5 seconds.
Oh, I'm just so, well, I was going to say before, what I thought was so funny is your parents came like to help out for the pregnancy, and that your mom had a certain amount of time off from work. And then Raven was so late that it just kept going. And it was an hour after they left to go back to Boston.
But this is like a known thing that women's bodies relax when they feel safe and comfortable. So if you have people hovering around you, watching you, waiting for you to go to labor, your body's like, no, I'm not.
They
doing
were literally
this.
Gone for an hour. And you turned to me and you just went, ooh.
Yes.
And your sister came over. Because to stay with Brynn in case that happens. So anyway, we're like, oh, okay, something might be happening. Let's go to sleep. And as a dad, you're told, like, get the rest early. Don't, you know, they're going to need you later. So I took this note very well.
Yeah, and, almost too well. So then Peter goes to sleep. I am moaning away next to him all night long. He's sleeping peacefully. I was sort of enjoying the fact that I was not being like bothered. We had planned to have our doula come over and labor with me before we went to the hospital. And, you know, Peter's sleeping, I'm moaning. I was just sort of enjoying the fact that no one was bothering me. So I didn't wake anyone up for a while. And it was nice to be left alone. And then, you know, it's like 6 a.m. People are starting to wake up. I asked Peter to call the midwives to see if we should start heading to the hospital because things are getting pretty serious. And he said, hold on, I got to take a quick shower. And then we have our doula come over trying to help us out. Peter's taking a shower.
Okay, freeze. This is a contentious part of the story about the timing of things because I do not remember. Like you definitely did not say call the midwives and I responded, well, I'm going to take a shower first.
Yes, I did.
There was, we were timing contractions, and they were nowhere close to where they said they should be when we should call. So I took a shower. I'm gonna assume that you're correct on the timing of that.
But you didn't time any contractions at that point.
Yeah, let's say that I didn't, but I think that I did. After the shower, we were certainly timing contractions, and they were not long. They weren't long enough for the guidelines that they were given. Like, this is when you should call and when you should worry is when this happens. And that never happened. But we called the doula and she's like, yeah, you know what? I think I'll come over. It's probably, I'll come on over. And then before the doula shows up, your water breaks, like right before.
So, okay. One thing that happened with Brynn was I was in labor for 18 hours and then I was like feeling like a literal dead person in the hospital. And Peter, you didn't feel like walking to the cafeteria of the hospital, so you decided to eat off of my hospital tray.
I was hoping we were going to skip that
after
part.
I had not, you know, eaten or drank in 18 hours. So I was pretty annoyed by that. And then I tried to prepare you for this labor saying, I need you to be focused on me. I need you to focus on timing the contractions because I'm going to be in labor. I'm going to be out of my mind. You need to be on top of this stuff. And you said, yeah, of course. It's crazy that you're even accusing me of ever not being on top of these things. I'm a perfect man. So then you didn't wake up a single time in the middle of the night. You got in the shower before timing my contractions in the morning.
Your time is up. Okay, so here's... You try to have it both ways on this all the time when you tell the story, which is you're like, Peter slept through the whole thing. He wasn't paying attention to me at all. And then you're like, it was so nice to be alone and not have anyone bugging me. So
for a few hours.
This is my floor. This is my time. I didn't talk during yours. And so that I think that was more beneficial to you than the opposite. Anyway, it was my job to time the contractions, and I did. And again, they were never as long as I was told to wait before we called. And we called people, blah, blah, blah. The water breaks, and we go, oh God, is this water breaks? And I go to get like a pH balance strip because obviously it was the water had broken. But then the doorbell rings, and it's the doula. And before this, we called the midwives and they were like, should we come in? And they're like, yeah. Should we wait for the doula or come straight in? They're like, you got time. Wait for the doula.
Okay. What I will say is that no woman I know would sleep through another person laboring next to them for like a full 8 hours and not get up at some point to check in and time some contractions. Anyway, what happened was our doula, who is very lovely, walks in the front door as my water is breaking, and I had put on an adult diaper, as one does when your water breaks. And she walked in as this was happening, and I had like a severe contraction with a lot of things coming out of me. So I decided to change the diaper into a fresh diaper. As she was walking in the door, she saw me pulling this disgusting diaper off my body. And she, as a lovely Austrian woman, she goes, "Oh, we need to go." So we run as fast as I can hobble outside to the car. Sylvie gets in the car with us. I didn't realize at this point that I had been fully dilated. So what was happening, that was my water.
So we get into the car, and your water had been holding Maven in. And so the second that thing broke, that baby was right down in the chute, ready to come out. So Sylvie says, okay, to be comfortable.
Wait, let me just interrupt.
Okay.
So by walking out to the car, this is what I'm doing at this point, is just shimmying Maven's head further and further down the birth canal because there's literally nothing holding her in at this point. So then we get into the car.
So you get into the car, and Sylvie has you be on your knees facing out the back. So you're behind me. I'm driving. She's next to you. And you're on your knees facing outward. We start driving, and we have a 25-minute drive ahead of us to this birthing center. 5 minutes down the road, I hear you in the back say, "I want to push." And Sylvie says, "Do not push." And then,
yeah, so again, this is like me saying I want to push, as some people who've been in labor will know, is not like a conscious decision. It was like my body was like, it's time to push. And so then at this point, I didn't even push a single time with this labor, which is kind of insane. I just had a contraction that kind of like shot Maven's head out of my body. And so her head was kind of hanging out of my body. Our doula, Sylvie, pulled my pajama pants down to expose her. And Peter, still driving, turns around from the back seat, looks our beet red daughter in the face as she's hanging out of my butt. And he says, "Should I pull over?" So our doula is like, "Yes, pull over." So at this point, we call up the midwives, get them on speakerphone for Sylvie. So they're walking her through, just like checking to make sure the cord's not around the neck, blah, blah, blah. Peter gets out of the car to call 911 while Sylvie is on speakerphone with the midwives.
So I call 911. And through this whole thing, you and I are shockingly calm. Like, even when I said, like, "Should I pull over?" It was the earnest. I was like, "Should I pull over? Is that the right thing to do?" And I called 911, and I was so weirdly polite. I was like, "Hi, my name is Peter McNerney. My wife is giving birth to a baby in our car right now. We're outside the School of Rock in Mamaroneck, New York." And they're like, "Oh, we'll be right there." I get back in the car after this very short phone call. I look in the back seat, and Beth is holding Maven in her arms. I then just pull out my phone and I take a picture, and it is a bizarre, beautiful moment. I will say, just it's beautiful, but also my first memory of Maven was seeing a glob of shit on her face in the back seat.
We were woefully unprepared to give birth in a car. We had like one towel with us. So we're like, Maven's wrapped in a towel. It's a mess. It's my sister's car, so it's very funny that we've made an enormous mess of the back seat. You know, Sylvie is a mess. She's been delivering this baby. The police show up, and this officer turns to you and says, "I heard somebody's having a baby in here." And you gesture to the car and say, "We took care of it," as if you did anything. And then the EMTs pull up, which is really what appeared to be one EMT and then like two young boy EMTs in training, who then approach the car to see me naked from the waist down holding a baby. And they're like wide-eyed, put a blanket around me to get me into the ambulance. And Maven is still attached to me via the umbilical cord, which weirdly is sort of like the home birth I'd always dreamt of, except inside of a car.
So a couple of things. One, that cop gave me a high five. And I was jokingly saying we took care of it. Obviously, I had nothing to do with it. But I will say, after the baby was born, that was only then did I see how tense Sylvie was. And I realized that we were so calm, like, oh, that was easy, because we're just so ignorant about how dangerous that can be. And it was only afterwards that I was like, oh, that was intense. So you guys get in the ambulance, you start driving. I start following in this destroyed Honda Fit. And it's 10 minutes down the road. They're taking us to a different hospital than ours. 10 minutes down the road, I'm following. That's when I finally start to calm down, like the adrenaline hits. And I burst into tears all by myself for like 2 minutes and then clean myself up before we get to the hospital.
Okay, so I resent the implication that I was ignorant of what could go wrong in a birth, since I had been researching this heavily for multiple years. What was happening to me was that my body was coursing with major hormones because a life-changing moment was happening. I was creating life on Earth. So, no, I wasn't ignorant to what could go wrong. I was just operating on like an animal instinct. So I got into the ambulance with Sylvie, and then at that point, I just, as covered in shit and blood, was could not have been happier because my labor was over, and my first labor with Bryn was so incredibly long and excruciating. All I could think about was how happy I was to have a baby outside of me that appeared to be healthy and safe, and I was so glad to avoid the hospital. I avoided all the annoying parts of the hospital where people are probing you and injecting you and doing all the things you don't want to deal with.
So we arrive at the hospital and they wheel her straight into a delivery room where she delivers the placenta, which went without incident. And there is a danger to when you have a really quick birth that the your uterus, which goes through this natural sort of shrinking period after birth. If you give birth really fast, it sort of can leave room. There's a danger of bleeding, a dangerous level of bleeding. And so they had to make sure that was okay. And so they were massaging her abdomen and delivered the placenta, no issues.
Yeah, I mean, they did find like a big blood clot in there, but that's pretty standard, I think. They do this uterus massage after you give birth when you think you're finally done being in pain. They rub your stomach harder than you've ever had anyone rub your stomach. It's very painful and apparently necessary. But everything was great. And so then we're sitting there in a hospital thinking to ourselves, wow, we thought we were in for maybe like a whole day of this and it's over and we're so happy. And I'm kind
it's
of
9 a.m.
laughing to myself because not only did we lose our car a week prior to this, but we've now destroyed a second car. So I was kind of amused. And that's when I decided to tweet at Honda and say, Honda, I just gave birth in the back of a Honda Fit. It's a mess. Can I have a free car?
Can I have a new one?
Can I have a new car? A new one.
Which is a really funny tweet. And Beth, in true Beth fashion, you know, didn't tell me she did this. We're sitting in a recovery room for the next couple days. You know, you spend a lot of time on your phone because you're killing time. And also, we're well rested compared to last time.
You were well rested. I had not slept the night before because I was in labor with a baby.
Compared to the time before, you were in much better shape than you were after Bryn. Like, you were awake.
Sure, but I mean, to describe me as well rested when I hadn't slept the night before is
you're
very...
You're absolutely right. Yes, yes, yes. I was well rested. So it was decidedly calmer in that room and less emotional than the previous time. So we're on social media. I post the picture of Beth holding Maven immediately after she's born, and I announce that this has happened. And I start, of course, getting a ton of likes, and I post it on Facebook. And I'm just sitting, you know, in an unhealthy way, just refreshing the likes all day. And then hours pass, and I tell Beth, I'm like, Beth, I think I'm going to get 1,000 likes on Facebook. That's crazy. And then that's when you turn to me and go, oh, yeah, I tweeted about this a while ago, and it has 35,000 retweets. I was like, what?
Yeah, so some comedy friends had retweeted it, and it had sort of, like, gone viral. So then we were, like, in the hospital getting all, like, getting, like, press requests. Like, people I know and, like, other random websites were calling, asking for interviews, asking for, like, photos of the baby and stuff. And we were, so it was just so funny. And they were, and everyone's like, so is Honda giving you a car? And we're kind of like, I don't think so. Like, that wasn't, that wasn't, like, really the goal as much as it was, like, a joke. Like, I don't think, if you had asked me at the time, I wouldn't have been like, yeah, we're definitely getting a car out of this.
Yeah, of course not, because that's insane. So we start getting a lot of people commenting on these things. And then once the things go viral, we start getting these absurdly nasty, stupid comments. Things like, oh, look at that. Like, that's not a cute baby. It looks like a rotten mango. Or like, what the fuck's wrong with that dad? Why didn't he stop driving when he took that picture? And so then there's articles about it. And then there's articles about people misinterpreting the other articles. There's one article that says, woman gives birth in car, jokingly asks for new one, joke goes over the head of internet trolls.
So then we get a call from a corporate Honda, and they're kind of like, we're not going to give you a free car, but we think this is cute. We're going to give you like a rental car. We're going to clean out this Honda for you. And what they did was they took my sister's car into the dealership. They replaced the back seat. They did it, gave it a cleaning,
which was thousands of dollars in damage.
Yeah. And they, in the meantime, they replaced her airbags that had been recalled, and she was like on a wait list for that. So she kind of lucked out.
And they gave us a very swanky rental car.
Yeah. And they gave us a rental car with like a couple big boxes of diapers in it. They were very nice. But at this point, I'm kind of...
So this all happens. Like, we communicate with them while we're still in the hospital, and it blows our mind that they reached out to us. And it was like so cool. It was more, obviously more than we expected. And then we go home. I get that car sorted out. They come, they give us the rental, they take that. And that's all amazing. And then we're home for 2 days when we get another tweet.
But at this point, I had been saying to Peter, like, it's not that I necessarily expect them to get a car, but like, I just didn't think that this whole situation happened without a reason, especially because I had been saying for months, like, we're going to get a car. So I kind of was like, you know, it's just weird to me that they didn't give us a car, because it feels like,
because the universe,
this was all
telling us,
happening for a reason.
And of course, if you listen to this podcast, you know that I wasn't listening to that at all, because it was nonsense. And so 2 days later, we're home, and I'm like, well, we still don't have a car. We can't afford one, but I haven't had time to focus on it because we have a baby. And Plaza Honda in Brooklyn tweets at Beth and says, Beth Newell, ask and ye shall receive. We would like to offer you a free 3-year lease on a brand new Honda CRV.
So at this point, we're like, is this a joke? Are they just trying to cash in on this and like get some publicity or something? But it's very, very funny, because for months I had literally been telling Peter, we need to get a Honda CRV.
With what money?
With the universe's money. So then we get on the phone with these guys. They're like, hey, one of our employees had this great idea where we give you a free car, and then he got us all on board with it. And, you know, we're just like really happy to be able to do this for you guys. We love the story, blah, blah, blah. So pretty exciting. We take like a 2-week-old baby and our toddler
all the way down to Brooklyn. So we're in Westchester, and they're like, would you mind coming down and maybe taking some pictures? And I'm like, I'm a commercial actor. I am not above this at all. So I take my whole family down to Brooklyn.
As much as I don't want to try to do my hair and makeup when I'm 2 weeks postpartum, I'll do it for a free car. Yeah. So we get ourselves all dolled up. We go to Brooklyn.
We get there. You're taking my time. And we get there, and you know, it's a free car. It still takes a couple hours, which is pretty intense with a brand new baby. But normally buying a car, which I hear takes a very long time.
They told us when we were sitting there, like, they were like, this process usually takes like 8 hours or something crazy.
Insane.
I just can't imagine.
It took us less than two. we paid the taxes, you know, like $800, and then we signed this lease, and we have this car.
And they took a bunch of adorable photos of Bryn holding the keys to his new car and being mm-hmm. a cute little toddler. This is the part where we should have brought someone else with us to do this, we then had to leave a dealership and drive back to Westchester in two separate cars.
Yeah.
With a very small baby in the back.
But you know what? We made it. And we got home. And for me, so we have this Honda CR-V. We've had it for 2 years. We have one more year on this free lease. And then we can either give this car back or we can buy it. And in that time, we are now in a situation where buying this car is not an insane thing. At the time, this is a thing that would have ruined us to like need to buy a car. We couldn't afford it at all. And then since then, the universe gave us exactly what we needed. And then when we need to buy this car, we're going to be okay. We'll be able to do it. And now I have no more argument. Logic is not a thing. She respects it even less in some ways.
I will say, like, both times I was pregnant towards the end, I feel like you would like to try to stress me out about money stuff, which is, like, not a good thing.
I would like to.
Not a good thing to do to someone who's 9 months pregnant and is just, like, raging with hormones and carrying around, like, a huge watermelon belly all the time. But at some point towards the very end of pregnancy, I was in the grocery store and this man walked by and I think I was like a little bit stressed, but he was like, babies bring blessings. And he just walked by and I was like, this feels like a sign. Like there's just like weird things that have happened with both births where I've just been like, what? That's crazy.
Yeah. I had the same thing. Like I'm an actor in addition to all the other weird things that I do. And a big part of what I do during the week is I go to auditions, mostly commercial auditions, which are, you know, fine, whatever. You book a commercial and it's really great money for a day's work. And I got a commercial agent a long time ago and I went on auditions for years and never ever really booked anything because I was a 22-year-old who looked 30. And the second Bryn was born, right after that happened, I booked a Super Bowl commercial and suddenly had health care through SAG. And like, it's that I don't believe in any of this stuff, but boy, it's getting harder to not when the universe goes, oh, because I was always so stressed about money because I'm like, Beth, look at this graph. We're out of money in 3 months. And your reaction would be this like, I don't want to think about it. You're just trying to stress me out. I'm like, what are we going to do? And I understand, like, obviously I'm making a pregnant woman stress, but I was so freaked out and I felt like I was like alone in this. And then it all just like, we didn't change. Nothing really changed and it worked out. I mean, this is not true for everybody.
No, I mean,
no, of course not. But for us, oh boy.
I'll also say when we were driving to the hospital to have Bryn, I was very stressed out about the fact that we had to go to the hospital because I didn't want to go to the hospital. And on the drive to the hospital, there was like a rainbow above us, which was kind of weird because it wasn't really a very like rainy day or anything.
Yeah.
And then also a crane flew by overhead, which is like looks remarkably like a stork. And I was just like, it feels like these are positive signs, like it's going to be okay. And then when I was in labor with Maven, I was seeing flashes of images in my mind of like birds and airplanes. And I was like, I feel like she's telling me she's just going to fly out of me. And I was like,
that's a loose connection.
Well, because I had been telling my friend Erica, who does Buddhist chants, she chants specifically four things as part of her specific like sect of Buddhism. And I was joking with her and my friends. I was like, Erica, will you just like chant for this baby to just like slide right out of me? Because the first labor was so painful. So then like when I was seeing those images, I was like, oh, I think she's really just going to fly out. And I had the thought, like, I wonder if she's going to be born in the car. But then I was just so crazy out of my mind in labor that I just moved on. Yeah.
You know, my favorite part, thinking back of at all this, that's, there's so many favorite parts. But one thing that really sticks out is, again, we went through this process, and it was so fast that, of course, it was exciting and it was emotional and it was weird, but we didn't really have space. And it, obviously, again, we're in very different mental headspaces during this, but there's adrenaline in both of us, and it is sort of the, like, what are we doing? What do we have to do? And for me, I'll just speak for myself. For me, it
You're
was
like, I want to go to sleep.
And it was, no. Because for me, it was, okay, we're okay. The cord's not around the neck. That's fine. Let's pull over. I'll call 911. We're here. Great. Hi. They've taken care of. We're in the ambulance. We delivered the placenta. Cool. We're in the waiting room. I was like, all right, great. And then I start, it's when I call my family and I start telling the story. It was specifically when I called my brother, Andrew. And I was like, well, we'd like to introduce you to your niece, Maven Grace McGurney, who was born in the parking lot of the School of Rock this morning at 7:30 in the back of a car. And he goes, what? What? And he flips out. And I was so taken aback. I was like, whoa, it's not that weird. And well, that was the part I was like, no, this is very weird.
The funny thing to me, I think, is like for people who haven't been in labor, and even some people who have, the idea of giving birth in a car is horrifying to them because they start thinking of everything go wrong and that it's like scary to you. But to me, having been in labor, my ideal is to not be in labor anymore, no matter what is happening. So the idea that you give birth in the car, it's like, sure, it's bad if there's complications, but the fact that a baby comes out in the car is just a blessing because the baby has come out.
Don't plan on it. You know, if something goes wrong, it's not a good place to be. But if it goes perfectly and you only had to leave your house for 5 minutes, that was a big win for us.
I just think it's funny because people assume that if they hear me offhand say it, they assume it was like a very stressful experience. And I'm like, no, it was great. It was so great.
I really recommend it.
I don't recommend it, but I do enjoy that it has happened.
I really recommend midwives.
I highly, highly recommend doulas.
Yeah. I don't recommend home birth. I didn't want that. You did want that, but it was your birth, so I obviously wasn't going to talk you out of it. But I was really happy we ended up where we ended up.
They were saying at the hospital, though, after this labor, they were like, you'd be an excellent candidate for home birth. After...
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you basically are. You did it. You did it in a Honda Fit. Google Honda Fit, people. And see how small a car this is.
I will say, if you're planning on doing home birth, or even if you're not, go to the chiropractor while you're pregnant. Just at least get checked out.
Line it up.
You don't necessarily have to get multiple treatments if they discover nothing's wrong, but at least you checked.
And that, my friends, despite the fact we totally threw out the 60 seconds at a time rule at a certain point, is the story of Maven.
Ta-da! And that has been We Knows Parenting. You guys can find us online on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at We Knows Pod. If you guys want to contact us with questions or comments or any crazy birth stories, we would love to hear them. You can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com, or you can leave us a Google voice message
at 347-384-7396. You can also find that number in the descriptions in all of our social media accounts or on our website, weknowsparenting.com. And of course, you can find Beth and myself on Twitter. It's a website where only twins are allowed. We snuck our way
Check
in.
Out our Instagrams. We have a lot of funny videos of our children.
And I'll post pictures of Maven immediately after being born in the Honda Fit and us at the Honda dealership. So you can check those out. Check out the Story Pirates podcast for all your kids' family entertainment needs. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.